Hey, it's time now for this.
Ask the Dentist on Talk About. Brought to you in association with Bridge Place Dental Practice Tralee. Your smile, our expertise.
Now, a very warm welcome to Colm O'Loughlin, who has just joined us in studio from Bridge Street Dental Practice, or Bridge Place Dental Practice. I beg your pardon, Colm. You think I'd know the name of it by now.
No, you're all right. That's fine. They're next door to each other. Yeah.
Well, welcome anyway.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
We have, as always, we have some very interesting questions for you. And just to remind listeners, if you're having any oral health issues, you can send in your questions to Colm on 083 300 3300. Now, we'll start with this one. And I don't think we've had this one before, but this is a West Kerry listener who says, should you brush your tongue as well as your teeth to avoid bad breath? And if so, what do you brush your tongue with?
Yes, it's probably no harm to brush your tongue, but don't be too aggressive about it. It's not strictly speaking necessary, but a lot of people will advocate it. Some people do have bad breath more than others. It's going to be caused by bacteria that build up in your mouth. Some species of bacteria release sulfurous compounds that cause these smells. Often you'll find it a problem for people who are smoking, who are taking medications that dry out their mouth and things like that, or people who have gum disease. So for some people, brushing their tongue may make no difference. For others, it may. Sometimes people feel they should brush their tongue more because they see a sort of a white deposit building up on their tongue, and they're trying to get it off. And that white deposit is often linked to candida or thrush infection. So it's actually often better to look at treating that rather than trying to scour your tongue. So a gentle brush of the tongue absolutely is no harm, but it's not critical. I wouldn't say.
Okay, and if you do decide to brush it with what? With your...
Yeah, you can use your toothbrush. Yeah, some toothbrushes actually have a sort of a pad. If you look at them, a pad on the reverse side from where the bristles are, that's almost like, a kind of a rubber sponge, and that kind of is a more delicate way of brushing it along your tongue. And don't go scraping it with anything sharp or anything like that. And I do see people doing that from time to time. So, but also a soft, normal toothbrush to give it a gentle brush with that is absolutely fine.
Okay. Now, Sheila was in touch and she says, I've been wearing a mouth guard for about a year on the advice of my dentist, and it has really helped with tooth grinding. However, it makes me very thirsty, and I find I have to have a glass of water by the bed every night. Is there anything I can do about that?
Okay, yeah, probably not. I suppose the downside of some of these night guards is that they are a foreign body in your mouth, and they possibly keep your mouth slightly open more than normal. I don't really have a solution for that one, unfortunately. Probably the glass of water is a practical choice with that.
Yeah.
Probably that downside outweighs the upside of preventing the grinding and controlling that.
Yeah, we seem to be getting a lot of questions these months for you, Colm, from people who have mouth guards for grinding their teeth. Is that a new phenomenon? Or I mean, I know it's always been there.
It has. Yeah, I would say I've been sort of saying to people that anecdotally I feel as though I've had a discussion about tooth grinding with my patients at work more in the last 2 or 3 years than I had in my career up to that, or at least as much. I don't have an explanation for it, but it seems that something changed during the pandemic and post-pandemic. And I think people's lives are extremely complex now and time poor. And I think an awful lot of the stresses that we're, you know, and that we're seeing constant bad news in the media, from housing crisis to inflationary crisis to the war in Ukraine and so on, plus just in our own personal lives, I think we're all juggling so many things that it definitely, there's been a massive increase in the clenching and grinding. It also seems to be particularly linked to our use of screens, in particular phones.
Really?
and tablets, and it's an interesting area of research to start reading about it. But there's some effect being caused by the blue light of these things, if we're using these devices in the final hours before we go to bed at night, that's sort of accelerating our thought process, accelerating our mental process, stopping us from winding down as we should. Grinding seems to be linked. There was a time when we'd speak about it from the point of view of, are you stressed, you know, or are you anxious, or do you have chronic pain? And those things definitely do provoke clenching. But now it seems that the general population is doing it an awful lot more. And it looks like there's a link between the constant feed of tidbits of bad news especially in those final hours of the evening, and our tendency to clench our teeth because our minds are processing and reprocessing so many different things that are now causes of worry. There's no easy answer to it. The best answer to it is sort of comes from within. But that can sometimes be easier said than done. But definitely to go back a little bit more to the advice we used to be given in years gone by of trying to wind it down in the evening rather than allowing these types of media influences to kind of infiltrate our minds and you know, trying not to run the whole process of what's coming tomorrow in the final minutes before bed. You know, if that means a notepad by the side of the bed to jot down your to-do list, that still sort of takes it out of the constant, you know, churning in your mind, and it's still there. You won't forget it, but at least you don't have to keep processing it.
Yeah, and how would you know if you were grinding your teeth?
Yeah, some people don't realise at all, but more often it's got to do with you'll see chipping on the edges of your front teeth, and you also may find that you can't open as wide as you used to, or if you do try to open wide or chew harder foods, you may find you're getting some soreness or discomfort in your jaw muscles. Head and neck pain, sometimes headaches that don't have an obvious cause, or very tight neck muscles. And another area, and it's unfortunate to have to say it, that's provoking a lot of clenching is recreational drug use. Which we know, I mean, we had the statistic recently saying that we're the fourth highest users of cocaine in the world per head of population.
In the world?
In the world, yeah. Cocaine is a brilliant way to grind your teeth down. People who use those any of those recreational drugs tend to clench their teeth a huge amount.
When they're asleep.
Yeah. No, and awake, you know. Yeah, it's a seriously, it's a recognised factor. So when you put all of those things into the mix and look at it, you've got the external factors, the constant media influence on bad news, our increased ability to access bad news. I actually have become quite interested in this recently, because I've even identified it in myself that my own attention span isn't what it used to be. And it seems that there's huge amounts of research to suggest that, the constant input of information is possibly not agreeing with our brains that evolved to deal with far less frequent information inputs than what we're giving them today.
Is actually quite interesting, and it just goes to show, I mean, I've had discussions on this program about how overuse of phones affects your mental health. I've spoken to an optician about how overuse of phones is starting to affect children's eyesight, and now even your teeth.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. Very interesting discussion there, Colm. We'll move on to another question. This is one that's come in several times in various guises from a texter who says, I need to get my teeth whitened for a family wedding, but I don't have the patience or time to wear the plastic device at night. Is there anything I can do to get them done on a one-off basis?
In my practice, no. So there was a lot of changes to the setup of tooth whitening a number of years ago. The EU decided to legislate on it. There were a lot of adverse incidents happening with very high strength whitening gels. It wasn't being maybe delivered necessarily by the appropriate people, so new regulations were brought in, and one of the upshots of that was that the maximum strength of whitening gel that we can legally use in Europe is nowhere near as high as it used to be. So if you use a sort of a lower strength gel as a one-off treatment, even if you energize it with lasers or with strong lights or with heat or any and all of those things, you still aren't going to get a huge impact from it in one sitting. And I know that's not what that person wants to hear. However, there are gels that we use. For example, we use a daytime one that you need to apply to your teeth for a half an hour once or twice a day, which really isn't particularly big burden. I think the nighttime one, we were very focused on it. I certainly would have mainly done it as nighttime for a long time without fully appreciating that it doesn't suit everyone, and it can feel more burdensome. So to do it as a half an hour daytime treatment once or twice a day gets the same results, and is probably not as much hassle, and that's definitely one to speak to your dentist about. So,
and you're kind of off things like red wine and stuff like that.
Yeah, you don't have to be too slavish about it. You know, as long as you don't use those things in the immediately after you've used your whitening gel, it doesn't seem to be as big an issue. It does make the teeth more porous temporarily, but as long as you don't drink a glass of red wine and two black coffees straight away after you've, you know, and smoke two cigarettes straight away after you finish the whitening, it's not such a big deal. We'd encourage people to stay away from highly coloured things as much as they can, but it's only going to be for maybe 10 days, you know.
Mm-hmm. So the new thing now is that you can do it during the day. You don't have to just keep the
We give our patients the option. So some patients are delighted that we do a lot of Invisalign. So a lot of people will be wearing retainers by night and it's no chore for them to pop a little bit of gel into those and pop them in. And it's no additional step really for them to do that. But then there's more people and they don't have retainers. They're just looking for tooth whitening. And yeah, the daytime one seems to really suit them. And we do actually, we're starting to pivot a little bit more towards the daytime one actually, because we're seeing a little bit less tooth sensitivity from that as well.
Okay, very interesting. Now, a listener says, I got a back tooth removed as a child and it has left a gap between two of my back teeth. I would love to fill the gap, so to speak. What are my options?
Great question. And it's such a day-to-day thing that probably people don't think to ask it. But nowadays, we have got, I suppose, the gold standard for tooth replacement is placing a dental implant. We actually just have a dentist with us now, a new dentist who started with us. He's an implantologist, and that this is all he does really is place dental implants for us. And you know, the scope for somebody who's a specialist trained in this for replacing these teeth, they can do it in almost any situation. If the tooth has gone for a very, very long time, the gum may have shrunken and it may be difficult to do it, but most people can have an implant in a missing space. The reason to consider the implant, I suppose, is that it's non-invasive in the sense that it's not going to impact your neighbouring teeth, where many other solutions do. So you can place the implant and it's not going to impact the other teeth. The downside to the implants really is cost. It's more expensive and it is a minor surgical procedure on the gum to place it. If that idea isn't attractive, then the other ways of doing it are bridge work. Bridge work can work, but there's two types. One is non-invasive bridge work that's glued to the neighbouring teeth. The problem with that is that sometimes it can come off, so you have to pick your battles with that. It'll work well in some situations and not very well in others. And then the other type of bridge work is where we drill the neighbouring teeth and we remove from around the circumference of the tooth maybe 1 millimetre, which might not sound like a lot, but it is still destructive to the tooth. And yes, you can then fit a fake tooth that's sort of attached to the one next door that you drilled. We tend not to do too many of those anymore. Sometimes we might replace existing ones if there's something gone wrong with them. The drilling has already been done in that case, so you're not causing additional harm. But we don't do them that often anymore. And then the final option is a denture. For a single tooth at the back, most people are probably not going to wear a denture for that. It's probably going to actually introduce too much bulk and be uncomfortable. And you're probably better off staying the way you are than replacing it that way.
That person could just have a conversation about all of those options with
dentist. I think if it was me or if it was one of my own, I would be suggesting the non-invasive bridge, if that's feasible, or a dental implant.
Or an implant. Okay. Well, Colin, we'll take a break and there's some more questions for you. But if anybody out there has any question for Colin from Bridge Place Dental, it could be about toothpastes or the different types of toothbrushes, or maybe you have a problem with your teeth or your breath or your gums or whatever it is. Call us through on 066 712 3666 and you can text 083 300 3300, which is also our WhatsApp number. 70.
Ask the Dentist on Talk About. Brought to you in association with Bridge Place Dental Practice Tralee. Your smile, our expertise.
Now, in case you've just tuned in, we are chatting to Colm O'Loughlin from Bridge Place Dental here in Tralee. He pops into us about once a month and answers any questions you might have about your teeth. And there's no shortage of them this month, as always. This is from a listener from Killarney who says, my teeth have become very discoloured and yellow looking in recent years, but I have never smoked in my life. What is causing this? Now, we don't have an age for this person, but could that be relevant?
It could, not always. I mean, our teeth do undergo aging the same as the rest of our bodies. And without labouring it too much, I suppose, just we need to understand a little bit about the makeup of a tooth. A tooth kind of has three basic constituents. It has a nerve on the inside of it, the pulp or the bit that has blood vessels and nerve endings in it. And then most of the tooth then is around that and it's called dentine. And that's the bit of your tooth that makes colour. Okay, that's the coloured part of your tooth. And then finally, around the outside of that is the one we've probably all heard of called enamel, which is the super hard substance that's on the outside of your tooth. So as we age, or as we use or wear our teeth, so again, back to the tooth clenching, that is a way of sort of accelerating the aging of your teeth is clenching, because your banging and bashing them more than they would have got had they just been used purely for chewing. So what happens then is that the nerve shrinks a little bit and lays down more dentine, because it's sort of defending itself from what it perceives to be an insult on the outside. So this dentine is, remember, is the colour or chromatic part of the tooth. So by having more of that, it intensifies the colour of the tooth, thereby darkening it. And then with the wear and tear, also then the enamel, which is the translucent sort of brightness-giving part of the tooth, that gets thinned out. So you've got more of the colour part being deposited on the inside, less of the kind of shiny white part on the outside due to wear and tear, and that then can cause darkening of the teeth. But the other thing that can do it is simple surface staining. So, you know, this is what we call intrinsic stain, what I just described, whereby there's additional colour building up inside the tooth. Extrinsic stain is going to be stuff that's just deposited on top of the tooth, just basically stain from, could be from tea. If you like to drink a lot of tea, you can get stain. And seeing your dentist for, or your hygienist for a scale and polish can actually brighten them up. So I suppose it's about identifying if we've got inside staining or outside staining, or maybe a bit of both. And then a combination of cleaning the outside of the teeth and whitening them then should improve things. But I suppose the problem, if the tooth has undergone an ageing process where there's more dentine and less enamel, is that even if you do tooth whitening, you still won't have the teeth of a 21-year-old. You will have whiter versions of your teeth, but they still won't ever look quite the same as they did when they had less dentine inside them and more enamel on the outside.
Another reason to be fed up about getting old. As well as everything else.
Fully roll back the clock, yeah.
This is it. A female caller in her 80s has been in touch. She received her last set of dentures in 2012. Since then, her lower gums have shriveled, and recently she suffers from split gums. She's looking for advice.
Yeah, that's such a miserable situation, and it's so common. The problem with the lower jaw is that it just doesn't have as much surface area. Your tongue sits in the middle, so the denture can't sit there. So it's just sitting on a thin little strip, a thin little horseshoe shape that the denture sits on, and it does shrink as we get older. Now, the dentures are highly unlikely to be fitting properly anymore. So your first port of call is going to be new dentures. I mean, they're 11 years old, so they're definitely not fitting properly. And the splitting of the gums is likely just due to friction, because these things don't sit correctly and aren't applying pressure evenly. So new dentures for sure. That's the first port of call. The second port of call is to consider dental implants. We're slower to do it in older patients, but not, you know, some 80-year-olds are fit and healthy and vivacious. More 80-year-olds are suffering with their health. So it will depend on the person, depend on their medications. But, you know, you don't have to go into a huge in-depth treatment to use implants to assist somebody in that situation. Simply placing as few as 2 dental implants can be enough. Anchor a denture and stabilise it. But I think the simple thing first, new dentures. They're definitely well past it if they're 11 years old.
Caller says, my 2 boys, aged 10 and 11, have been told that they both need braces. At what age will they get them?
That's going to be down to the person who's prescribing them. There are various sort of factors that will change our decision about when to treat somebody. Some issues will only be treatable or only straightforwardly treatable if they're done when the child is growing. You know, so you can harness the actual growth potential of their jaws to achieve changes that you might need to carry out surgery for if you waited until they were in their late teens or early 20s. So really, it's going to be down to a discussion with the orthodontist and the parent and the child about when the timing is going to suit. And the maturity of the child is a factor as well. For some situations, perhaps the window of opportunity to carry it out is much larger. It might be 5 or 6 years, and then it might be more about the maturity of the child and their sort of social impact that it might have on them. So, you know, there's no straightforward answer to that one, unfortunately.
And they usually end up wearing them for what, about 2 years?
That's average. Yeah.
On average. Yeah. It can be longer, can it?
It can, yeah, it can. And there's lots of factors in that as well. I suppose it's not a commodity. You know, every case is different. It's customised to the individual's needs.
Okay. A listener called Anne is 74. She said she had cancer of the tonsils nearly 6 years ago and lost a lot of her teeth as a result of the treatment. She says, could I get implants? I also have had gum disease in the past.
The short answer is yes, but the long answer is that it needs to be very carefully assessed. Normally, when you have that type of surgery in a hospital setting, they will have a maxillofacial department and a reconstructive department that they will pass you on to, because there are more subtle nuances with the management of those cases than with your typical tooth loss situation. So I think she should contact the team that carried out her treatment originally and ask to be referred through that pathway for opinion.
But there is something that can
yes,
be done.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll just take one more column because we're nearly out of time. Texter says, I notice my daughter seems to brush her teeth after she eats every meal or snack. I think this is excessive, but she says she hates the smell of food on her breath. Is there such a thing as brushing your teeth too often?
Yeah, there probably is, actually. You know, your teeth are made of enamel on the outside. It is an extremely hard substance, but it has to last an awfully long time. So, you know, there is an abrasive in toothpaste, and, you know, your gums are a biological component. I would say if you were brushing your teeth correctly and thoroughly 3 times a day, that should be adequate. You know, if we're talking about 5, 6, 7 times a day, which we could be here, it's not going to come against you early on, but it, long term it could. So I think it's about being thorough a reasonable number of times in the day rather than, you know, being excessive. But I'd struggle to discourage it too much. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, use a soft toothbrush, use a good toothpaste, a good quality toothpaste. Don't use a smoker's toothpaste or one of those, because some of those toothpastes, they call them smoker's toothpaste. There's nothing magical in them. There's lots of abrasive in them. So that's actually going to wear down the surfaces of your teeth. So make sure you're using an age-appropriate toothpaste,
actually,
and a soft brush.
Yeah, somebody said, speaking of that, someone said, ask Cullen what's his opinion on the purple toothpaste from, I don't know what the name of the company, it looks like His Smile.
I'm not familiar with the product. There's so many of them out there.
Purple toothpaste.
I don't know.
Yeah, don't know about that one. Okay, that's fair enough. Cullen, before we let you go, people can find you at Bridge Place Dental, as usual. And are you taking on new clients?
Yes, we are. Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So just give a call.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you very much.
Lovely stuff. Cullen, thank you very much for that. Very interesting stuff, as always. And we'll chat to you again next month, all going well. For now, though, we're going to take a break.